an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life.
She seeks wool and flax and works in willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens.
She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night.
She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple.
Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land.
She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue.
She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all.
Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates.
Well, again, happy Mother's Day. I know I've been up here for a few minutes already, but my name is Jay Smyer. I'm one of the pastors on staff. If I haven't met you yet, I'm so glad that you're here. And welcome to those who are on YouTube Live right now. You've gotten a great show so far at home. If you're a mom at home watching on YouTube Live, I will just assume that breakfast in bed went long. And that's why you're not with us today, but we miss you and we're glad you're tuning in. How about that bumper video? Do you guys recognize a few of those voices? Yes, Nancy was in there. Jody was in there. Jody Sikrowski, she's in here right now. And I'm going to tell you this, she loves being embarrassed and she's sitting right over there. Yes. I do have to be careful how far I take it though, because she also signs the paychecks around here. So can I say you are the youngest looking grandma I've ever seen? Yes. happy Mother's Day. As Matt said earlier, this is to all moms, to all stepmoms, to grandmothers, spiritual moms, and even to women who mentor and disciple others. We're grateful for you, and we don't celebrate you enough. I want that to be heard throughout the service. To highlight all moms this weekend, we will be walking through the book of Proverbs, specifically chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, as our starting point. This passage is targeted directly at the woman who fears the Lord, but the lessons learned in this passage, and also all throughout the book of Proverbs, are for all of us. Now, I also want to stand here and say, I know that Mother's Day weekend doesn't necessarily represent joy and happiness for all of you in the room. Maybe it's been a hard year of miscarriage or child loss, or maybe you lost your own mom this year or in the past, and this is hard. I just want to say, if that's you, on behalf of all the staff here at Desert Breeze, we are with you. We are praying for you. We want to support you in any way that you need. So please, please hear that. Do me a favor now, turn to your neighbor. I know I got you chatting with your neighbor a lot this service, but turn to your neighbor and ask them, what is the difference between knowledge and wisdom? What is the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Talk to your neighbor for a sec. I'm hearing scattered giggles. Now, I'm sure there are a variety of responses in the room, but I'm guessing most of them are centered around the idea that knowledge is being what we know, and wisdom is what to do with what we know. For example, I'll kind of lighten it a little here. For example, something that I've heard many times, and this always makes me laugh, is this. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. Knowledge is knowing that my phone says the high temperature in Phoenix is going to be 72 degrees. Wisdom is knowing that the Arizona sun does not care about my app and will melt me anyways. And here's a couple for our moms. Knowledge is knowing that my mom said, don't get me anything for Mother's Day. Wisdom is knowing that I'll be eating cold spaghetti for the next month if I do exactly that. How about this? Knowledge is knowing moms love handmade gifts and cards from the kids. Wisdom is knowing that the glitter that they used will be stuck in the carpet until Jesus returns. Yes. So we got to know the difference here. I think you get where I'm going so far with this. If you've been around Desert Breeze for any length of time, you've probably heard Pastor Ray say that wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. Some of the easiest words to say, but boy, using myself as the ultimate example, some of the hardest words to live out. Now, a lot of times, whether you are a believer or not, you ask yourself, how do I correctly apply the knowledge that I have? How do I live a life that is filled with wisdom? How do I become someone that people will turn to and look to for advice? And speaking to you moms, I know this for a fact because I am married to perhaps the world's greatest mom. And I have to be careful because my wife and my own mom are sitting next to each other right now. So they're like in a little competition, you know, because I had the best mom and now I married the world's greatest mom. I know, speaking on behalf of my wife, I know that moms, you lay awake at night wondering and worrying about your kids and how are they going to turn out and how can you be the best mom possible. I know that you pray and you pray and you pray that God will look after your kids and use you mightily as a mom. Now, I've never actually seen this behavior because I'm sleeping the whole time. It's exhausting being the world's greatest husband. Yes. But I'll ask her in the morning, I go, why do you look so tired? I'm worried about it. And because she's the best mom and she wants what is absolutely best for our kids. Now, it's comforting to know that even as we ask these hard questions, how do I live a life filled with wisdom? How do I make this jump from knowing to actually applying? It's comforting to know that as we ask these questions, we have answers. They're given to us so clearly in Scripture as we seek this wisdom-filled life. And before we dive into some of these answers and talk about what wisdom in action looks like, why don't we pray together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for this morning. Thank you that we can be here. Thank you that we can just gather freely. We can worship you. Thank you that we can take a special opportunity today to thank our moms, to celebrate moms, but also do a dive into Scripture that shows all of us in the room the importance of a wisdom-filled life. Please be with us now as we read your word and study, and then be with each of these families as they go and celebrate today. Amen. So as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, Proverbs 31 is where we're going to be kind of starting each of our points today. The 31st chapter of Proverbs is the final piece of perhaps the most famous piece of wisdom literature that we are given in Scripture. There are several books of the Bible that are known as wisdom literature. We have Job, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Psalms, and Proverbs. Proverbs in the Bible is God's invitation to us to live skillfully and faithfully in the real world. Proverbs teaches us not just to fill our heads with knowledge, but to form our lives. It teaches us to respond to life from God's perspective. Proverbs is not a book of guarantees for perfect outcomes. It's a book of God-shaped wisdom for our everyday life. So let's jump into our first point as we talk about this wisdom-filled life that embodies Proverbs and honors moms. Your first point is this: wisdom begins beneath the surface, the fear of the Lord. Wisdom begins beneath the surface. Verse 30 of Proverbs 31 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Perhaps the most famous verse in this entire famous passage. This is a refreshing reset of perspective for all of us. This verse right here is the foundation of everything when it comes to a wisdom-filled life. In fact, your next fill in the blanks are this. This verse is the foundation. It's not about personality. It's not about productivity or even morality. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, I do want to reiterate once again, each of our main points will start right here in Proverbs 31, which is primarily addressed to the woman who fears the Lord. But each point is going to be heavily supported by cross-references. You can already see that on the screen. I want to show that the book of Proverbs, all the books of wisdom literature, and really all throughout the entirety of Scripture, these points that we're talking about are for all of us. So again, if you're looking at the screen right now, wisdom begins beneath the surface. We have this theme of the fear of the Lord. It's not just found in Proverbs 31:30. We see in Proverbs 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 8, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Ecclesiastes 12, fear God and keep his commandments. Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is not just some one-off. This is a massive theme that is found throughout Scripture. If there's anything that these verses have in common is that there is no shortcuts to the finish line. All of these things start with the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is also one of the biggest debates in Scripture. You'll hear preachers on both sides of this when they talk about what the fear of the Lord means. On one side, you see, you know, the fear of the Lord means that you should be afraid of his power and his might. Be terrified, because he could crush you at any time. Oh yeah, that's really hope-inspiring right there, yeah. Or you have this. Oh, fear of the Lord is an outdated term. You should focus on just being his bestie, all right? Snuggle up close. Now, the actual definition of the fear of the Lord is a whole lot closer to this. Acknowledging his greatness and his power, yet being in awe that he still wants to use us and be in relationship with us. Fear in this case is reverence. It's a joyful awe and wonder. We tremble at the mere thought of the privilege of being his son or being his daughter. This is a God who is transcendent above all, yet also imminent, and wants to be close to us, wants to be in relationship with us. The fear of the Lord is not about being scared of God's presence. It's about being scared of living without it. Wisdom begins by being in God's presence. You want to start looking more like him? Start spending more time with him. And if you find yourself struggling with relationships here on this earth, and I like to say, and Pastor Ray, I like to say, if you're struggling with relationships here on a horizontal level, chances are it's pointing to an issue that you're having on a vertical level. If you're trying to thrive on the power of your personality, the amount of good things you can do, how good of a person you can be, you're just going to spin your wheels until you are exhausted. Spend time in his presence. Experience the awe and wonder of who he is and what he has done for you. And then you can watch that pour out onto others. I can say this with supreme confidence, and this is where I need my wife to just smile and nod. Please don't jump up and start amening and clapping. I'll tell you this. The days that I feel the most tired and worn out, the days that I can get the most annoyed and the most frustrated, and I'm prone to say the most unkind things to my wife, to my kids, and to other people, it's the days that I have not been sitting with God. It's the days that I have not been allowing myself to be transformed by him from the inside out. And moms, let me encourage you with this. You will never be a failure to your family if you choose to prioritize this before you prioritize this. You will never be a failure to your family if you do that. He will empower you in ways that you never thought possible. And he'll do it from the inside out. Our next point about wisdom in action is this. Wisdom works hard. Wisdom works hard. In Proverbs 31, verses 13 through 19 are all about hard work. All about how this woman who fears the Lord, she gets up and she's not afraid of hard work. Verse 27 says she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. If this was rewritten in 2026, it would say she eats the bread of sourdough, but not the bread of idleness. Now, hear me clearly when I say this, and in all the circles of influence that I'm a part of, no one works harder than the moms that I know. No one accomplishes more than the moms that I know. When I check in with my wife at the end of the day and she'll say, how was your day? And I'll say, well, I'll tell you. And I can talk about meetings that I had. I can talk about counseling appointments. I can talk about event prep that we did or sermon prep. And I can do all of this in about 2 to 3 minutes if I take some water breaks. Yes, I can tell my whole day. And it just kind of, when I finish, I go, wow, I really actually didn't do much today. But then I'll say, how was your day? And I wrote this down from the last time that my wife shared with me, and I want to read it so I get it right. Let me tell you, this is what she said. Well, I made breakfast, I packed up school bags, I worked out, I did the dishes, I vacuumed, shopped for groceries, bought birthday presents for 11 people, walked the dogs, worked the job, cleaned the shower, washed the sheets, folded towels, counseled a friend, prepped dinner, picked up the kids from school, solved world hunger, just what she said, enrolled each of our 3 kids in 5 different summer programs. Shall I continue? Because I got 3 more pages. Most of that was serious. If there's anyone that could solve the world hunger problem, it would be my wife for sure. Most of it would be fueled by the leftover nuggets that our kids leave. That's a whole other story. All right. Seriously, though, I want you now look at the mom nearest to you and say, thanks for all you do. Just take that, you know. Goodness gracious. No one makes me look lazier than a mom. So why take a moment right now and highlight this? Are we celebrating people who just check boxes every day? Are we celebrating people who are just, you know, you do what needs to be done every day? Thank you so much for that. Not really. That's not what we're going for. Instead, take note of what's in parentheses next to this point. We see wisdom works hard, and then you see diligence with purpose. And that is the main part of this point, diligence with purpose. There is a purpose to the hard work that we do. Moms, there is a purpose to everything that you do all throughout the day. And that purpose continually ties back to worshiping God and growing in wisdom. this passage, all these verses, verses 13 through 19, verse 27, they're filled with motion. We see, here's your next fill in the blank. There's working, there's planning, there's building and providing. And once again, this isn't just something that I cherry pick from a couple verses in one chapter. This theme is all over the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, this is a great little passage that compares and contrasts the sluggard, the lazy person, and the ant. Proverbs 10 talks about the difference between lazy hands and diligent hands. Proverbs 12 says the diligent will rule. Proverbs 13, the diligent are fully satisfied. Proverbs 14, all hard work brings profit. Proverbs 21, plans of the diligent lead to abundance. And I specifically want to note Colossians 3:23 here, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. You see, the wise person understands, I'm not just folding laundry. I'm not just going to work. I'm not just studying. I'm not just changing diapers. I'm not just serving people. There is dignity in faithful work. And we see throughout Scripture that God Himself is also at work. From the opening pages of Scripture, God is creating, forming, cultivating, sustaining. We are created in His image. So meaningful work reflects His character. And even as I read verse 16 of Proverbs 31, she considers a field and buys it. This phrase, considers, it matters. Because wisdom thinks ahead. She's not reckless. She's thoughtful. She's intentional. She's strategic. Biblical diligence is not just about working harder. It's about working wisely. And there's a difference between being busy and being fruitful. We know what being busy all the time leads to. It leads to exhaustion. It leads to just every day feeling like you are not heard or seen. Everything that you do is unappreciated. That's because you're busy all the time. There's a big difference between that and being fruitful, understanding that what you are doing is to honor God and to follow Him. We get exhausted because we are scattered, but wisdom teaches focus. Jesus modeled this for us perfectly. Never once would any of us say that Jesus was lazy during His ministry, but also we would never say that Jesus was frantic during His ministry. He lived with clarity of mission at all times. And we do see that wisdom works hard, understanding that there is purpose that goes into that hard work. Our next point is this: wisdom builds others. Wisdom builds others, primarily using words and compassion. Proverbs 31:20 says, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. And verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Again, these aren't just single verses that are being grabbed just to support one sermon. If we're looking at just how a wise person builds other with words, in Proverbs 10, we see that the words of the righteous nourish many. Proverbs 12, words can heal or they can wound. Proverbs 15, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Does anyone else struggle with that one like Pastor Ray? I mean, like I struggle with that one. Yeah. A gentle answer turns away wrath. If you want to be clever and mean to me, guess what? I'm about to use my gift of words as well. No, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 16, gracious words are life-giving. And in Ephesians 4, we are supposed to speak what builds others up. On the compassion side, Proverbs 14, kindness to the needy honors God. Proverbs 19, giving to the poor is lending to the Lord. Proverbs 22, the generous will be blessed. from Isaiah 58, true righteousness cares for others. And in Matthew 25, we see that serving others is serving Christ. Building people up is clearly one of the marks of a wise person. Speaking and acting kindly in the face of adversity is one of the hardest things to do. I am so privileged to see this in my wife every single day. We have 3 kids. Their ages range from 5 to 9, which means they're in the stage of life where they get nervous about a lot of things, especially new things. And we encourage them to try new things. Now, they've all learned that there is one parent that they can go to if they just need a little bit of support and encouragement and a kind word. And they also know that the other parent is me. No, they know that they can go to mom. When my daughter is nervous, she's in gymnastics. She does trampoline and tumbling and all the things that like my bones literally crack just watching her do it. But she'll get nervous about trying something new, and I'm really good at coming alongside her and saying, "Maylee, do you know how much I'm paying for you to just stand here during your..." That doesn't work. My wife knows that sort of goading will not help our daughter. It doesn't help any of our kids in any way. But she knows that she can use the wisdom that she has gained to speak compassionately, to speak kindly, and she can encourage our kids to try hard things. Now, does that always work? No. Again, this is not a prescription for perfect outcomes here. But I will say this, and I think we can all agree that kindness and compassion, especially with our words and how we build each other up, they're going to go so much further than the tough love side of things. And as I look at these particular verses in Proverbs 31, and these verses throughout the book of Proverbs, and in Isaiah and Matthew and Ephesians, here's what I see. Just using Proverbs 31 as our filter, people around this woman who fears the Lord, people around her, they flourish. The poor are helped. Her household is cared for. Her words teach kindness. Her family rises and calls her blessed. We'll talk more about that in a minute. This is what wisdom does. It leaves people better then it found them. A wise person walks into a room and brings peace instead of drama, encouragement instead of criticism, generosity instead of selfishness, gentleness instead of harshness. And this applies to everyone, not just moms. The church, our community, our city, our world, we desperately need more people who choose to heal people with words than to divide. Our culture has plenty of outrage and sarcasm, cruelty and criticism already. Wisdom, as we read, sounds different. It's uplifting, it's powerful, it builds. And as I look around here, I know I've made eye contact with a lot of you. I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of you already. Tried to wish Happy Mother's Day to as many of you as possible. I know that this room is full of women, of moms, who are so in tune with this. I see it all over our church and all the different ministries and all throughout the week. We are a church that is full of women who look to build others up. And I'm so, so grateful for so many of you that exercise this quality day in and day out. Our next point is this: wisdom lives with integrity. Wisdom has trustworthy character. In verses 11 and 12, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and she will have no lack of gain, or he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. And verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. That word integrity, wisdom lives with integrity. Take just a second and think about that word. How would you define integrity. What does that word mean? A definition that I learned as a kid and I still hold on to is this: integrity is what we do when no one is watching. And as we discussed this in our staff meeting this last week, and I asked the same question, I go, what does the word integrity mean to you? I also wrote this note: integrity is consistency in what you say and do in both your public life and your private life. Consistency, what a key word there. And again, as we run this topic of wisdom through a biblical filter, remember that biblical wisdom is not just about making the smart decisions. It's about being trustworthy in every area of your life as you go about making those decisions. It's about being consistent. It's about being a man or a woman of integrity. One of the greatest compliments that we can receive is when someone looks at us and says, "You are a trustworthy person." One thing I remember my mom and dad teaching me is you can work an entire lifetime to build someone's trust, but boy, you can blow it in about 2 seconds. When someone says you are a trustworthy person, do not take that lightly. In a world where promises are broken, motives are questioned, character is constantly compromised, trustworthy people stands out. When you live a life of integrity, that stands out in this world. You know this. And we have plenty of verses to back it up. In Proverbs 11, we see that integrity guides the upright. In Proverbs 12, the Lord delights in truthfulness. In Proverbs 20, the righteous walk in integrity. Proverbs 28, better poor with integrity than rich and crooked. And in Luke 16, we see that when we are faithful in little, we can also be faithful and given much. At the deepest level, integrity matters because it, again, it reflects God himself. He is perfectly faithful. He is perfectly trustworthy. He is perfectly true. Now, I like what is said about God in the midst of an extended interaction between Balak and Balaam in Numbers 23. The name Balaam may strike a chord. He's the guy in Numbers 22 that got to have a conversation with his donkey. That's the story. This is the same guy. But in Numbers 23:19, Balaam says, "God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" Everything that God says can be trusted. And as believers, we are called to reflect his character in this world. When Christians live with honesty and faithfulness, humility and consistency, we reflect the reliability of God. Proverbs 31 reminds us that wisdom is not always flashy, but boy, is it consistent. And in the world of instability, compromise, a trustworthy life shines brightly. This is wisdom. The last point I want to leave you with is this: wisdom leaves a legacy. Wisdom leaves a legacy of lasting impact and honor. I'm just going to read verses 28 and 29 of Proverbs 31. "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all.'" This passage is more than just admiration. These verses speak of impact. A wise life leaves lasting fingerprints on so many people. And one of the most powerful truths in Scripture is this: what we repeatedly do today shapes what remains tomorrow. Proverbs 13:22 tells us that a good person leaves an inheritance. Proverbs 20 tells us that children are blessed after them. Proverbs 22, a good name is more desirable than riches. Psalm 112, the righteous are remembered forever. Matthew 7, the wise builds upon a firm foundation. And then from 2 Timothy 1, faith is passed down through generations. Folks, I agree with all of these verses except the one right in the middle, Proverbs 22:1. A good name is more desirable than riches. Because I could easily live in a world where people go, Jace, that billionaire. Yes. All right, I'm kidding. Of course. Maybe just a multimillionaire. No. Just kidding. Much rather be known as a trustworthy person. Much rather be known as a man of integrity. Much rather be known and talked about as someone who is leaving a legacy. Now, we often imagine a legacy as something grand and big. It's, oh, this was, oh, this person, oh, they wrote so many books and affected so many lives. Oh, this person was so famous. This person built such a huge platform and had so many followers. This person had multiple public achievements. That's what sometimes we think about with legacy. But as we read scripture, legacy is not always defined in such big, huge ways. No, legacy is more seen as this, a faithful parent, a godly grandparent, a teacher who invests in their students. A believer who consistently was known for encouraging others. The person who quietly loves Jesus for decades. These are the type of lives that shape generations. Lives that are built on gaining wisdom and then putting it into action. Now, I brought something with me today. I actually brought the world's smallest sermon illustration. This is a little seed packet. I hold this thing and this weighs nothing. And it's just full of these little dots that if I were to go out, if I had any kind of a green thumb, I would go out and plant these and something beautiful would grow. Now, in a lot of ways, sometimes we plant seeds in our lives and we expect results right away. But if I were to go out into my backyard today and plant these seeds and then go inside and pour a glass of lemonade and come back outside right away, would I be able to sit in the shade of whatever I just planted? No. That's not how it works. The benefits of planting seeds come later. In the same way, so many of the important things that we do and say to people today will have their full effect many years from now. Every prayer, every act of faithfulness, every moment of integrity, every word of encouragement, you may not see the full impact immediately. And you moms, you know this. Having conversations with your kids, you might have just said the most beautiful thing to them, the most loving thing to them, and they just look at you and go, can I have a snack? And it's like, what? I just said the most beautiful thing. We may not see the full impact immediately, but wisdom plants seeds that outlive us. And again, I look around this room, I see so many layers of legacy represented in this room. Whether you are here, if you're like me, I'm here because of a mom and a dad who loved Jesus and pointed me toward Jesus. And my mom is here because of a mom and a dad who loved Jesus and pointed her toward Jesus. I see many stories just like that. You are here because of your parents, because of your grandparents, because of your great-grandparents even. But I also know that there's a few people in here. You're here because you want to start something new in your family. You want to establish a legacy in your family, a legacy that says, we love Jesus and we want to follow him. If that is you, then I commend you and I praise you and I thank you too. So many layers of legacy represented here. And I will tell you that the Lord will reward you for that faithfulness. And he will reward you and give you answers as you seek wisdom. Never forget even what King Solomon said when God said, ask for whatever you want. What did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. He basically said, Lord, I'm just a child. I don't know what to do. Help me govern. Help me lead. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you that. And I'm also going to give you everything else that you didn't even ask for. When you ask, he will reward you and answer you. Let me conclude with this. None of anything that I just said, none of this matters without faith, belief, and hope in Jesus Christ. All of these things, all of these, you know, ideas and points and good things, all of these things, they could add up to make you a really good person by society's standards, but they would ultimately fall short if you are living, or they would ultimately fall short unless you are living them out as a response to what Jesus did for all of us on the cross. And folks, if that's something that you have questions about, you have doubts about, you have no idea what I'm talking about, then at the end of this service, when I'm done praying, I invite you to come up and ask those questions. You can ask me, you can ask one of our elders or one of our leaders that will be up here with me. I would love to tell you about the amazing thing that Jesus did for you and how that fuels all the amazing things that we can do for others. Before I pray and dismiss, I'll just say again to all the moms and families represented here, happy Mother's Day. Please do not forget on your way out to get a family photo and get some flowers and get that picture up on Instagram as quick as possible. Just start racking up the likes and comments and shares, yes. But we love you, and we're so grateful and appreciative of you. Let's all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for this time. Thank you that we could dive into Proverbs. And yes, look at the Proverbs 31 woman, but also look all throughout your word and see how we can live lives full of wisdom in action. Lord, let this be a topic that is spoken about even at the lunch table today. As moms are celebrated, let qualities just like this be talked about. Let it be spoken of and praised how so many moms in this congregation and beyond live lives that are full of wisdom in action. Lord, we just love you. And again, we're so grateful for everyone here and grateful for the opportunity to come and worship you in this way. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. Happy Mother's Day.